everyone. Can you hear me?
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own.
Hey, everybody, how are you today? I've got Helena on the line right away because I wanted to bring her in because I'm sitting here at the Powerhouse Visitor Center in Kingman, Arizona, and I'm talking on my phone. It's kind of a bizarre situation. For some reason, the whole internet thing wouldn't work, so we're doing this by phone. So I'm, again, in Kingman, Arizona on my way to Sedona. I left Oregon on Saturday morning. Well, actually, I left Friday and went down to visit some friends in Sutherland, Oregon, and spent the night, got a shower, clean bed, all that. And the next night, I was in Stockton, California, in a Walmart parking lot, and I slept in the back of the truck. What we did was load the truck so everything is towards the front, and then there's a whole bunch of boxes at the back, and my mattress is on top of the boxes. So I slept on my own bed, on my own mattress, and we put a little block of wood underneath the door so that I could get some air, and I, you know, jimmied with it so that nobody could lock me in and it would be all well and good. And then I called out all the angels and everybody that I knew to protect me, and I slept so soundly and peacefully. So last night I ended up in Needles, California, and it was getting dark. I was out of gas, and I knew I had to go across the Mojave Desert, so I needed to stop. And I looked all around for a place to pull in. Well, I'm driving a 16-foot truck, and I'm on back of that is a trailer with my car on top of it. So it's a little bit awkward to pull in. You have to take, they said, use your mirrors and make wide turns. So that's what I did, only I got into this one motel-type area that looked like it had a really good price, and I couldn't maneuver, I couldn't park. It took me almost 20 minutes to finally maneuver my way out of that parking lot. So then I found this other hotel just down the road, and oh my gosh, this is an experience that if you haven't tried it, well, I guess I kind of recommend it. What happened is that the hotel was $25 from Monday through Thursday, $25, and I thought, wow, that's a really good price, especially since I don't want to spend the night in the truck. It's 107 degrees, and I really, really need a shower. So I drove in, and once again, I got stuck in the parking lot. And there was a truck that I was going to hit if I kept going. So I got out of the truck to see if I could find somebody who would move his truck. And this man walked up to me, and he said, "Would you like me to move this truck so that you can get around there?" And we started talking, and I told him, yes, I would like him to do that. And I also was hoping to get a room, but I needed a place where I could park safely. So he said, "You pull right up beside the office there, and you tell Brian that if he has any questions, that I told you you could park there." This was Michael, the mechanic. So I said, all right, and I pulled up there. Well, in order to get a key, I had to go across the parking lot to the 99 or 66 bar. So I walked into the bar, and of course it's typical of most bars, you know, it's dark, and there was some music playing, pool table going on, not a lot of people there. And I talked to the girl behind the counter, and her name was Charity, which I thought was a wonderful name. So I told her I wanted to get a room, and she said, well, it'll be okay, we can do this. And she found the paperwork, and she got, there was a key that was connected to a remote for a television, and then she pulled out from under the counter a little bottle of shampoo and a little bottle of conditioner and a little bottle of lotion and a bar of soap, which should have clued me in, okay? Well, I mean, the price should have clued me in. But anyway, so I said, okay, and I walked across and found the room. It was room 25. So I went into room 25, and I flipped the light switch, and nothing happened. So I walked over to one of the lamps, and I turned it on, and nothing happened. And I was just getting ready to go back to the door, and one of the lights came on in the room. in front of a mirror. So I said, oh, okay. So I closed the door, and then I walked over to this itsy, teensy little bathroom. And it had the tiniest shower you have ever seen. If you're over 150 pounds, you wouldn't fit through the door of the shower. It was really something. There was a half a roll of toilet paper. There was one towel, one face cloth, no mat for the floor. It was obviously a well-used room. And I said, and they had the air conditioning set to 68, and it was bloody hot there. But it was starting to cool off. And I said, you know, all I really need tonight is a bed and a shower. And then the lights went out. So I stumbled my way across the floor because I didn't know, I hadn't taken my flashlight out right away. And I opened the door and I yelled at Michael. And I said, Michael, you're the maintenance man here, right? And he said, no, I'm the mechanic. What's going on? And I said, well, the lights just went out. So he said, oh, okay, wait a minute. It's down here in room 34. So he marches down to room 34 and he knocks on the door and explains the situation. And pretty soon this elderly man comes out dressed in shorts and socks. And he comes charging over, and everybody's teasing him that he didn't get dressed to come out to take care of things. And he goes and finds the breaker box and turns the lights back on. And I said to him something about, well, that should be good for the night, right? And he said, well, we hope. Okay, good. So the next thing I did was find my flashlight. And I got my shower, and the room cooled off, and I had an absolutely wonderful sleep. And one of the things that I found in this situation is that I am a woman. I was alone. I was in a hotel or a motel that was not of the highest caliber by a long shot, and yet I had people there taking care of me. I had angels who didn't look anything like halos and wings, and they were there to take care of me. So never judge who your angels are, and always be open to whatever presents itself. So now I'm going to bring Helena in, and one of the reasons I'm bringing her in early is because I haven't had a chance to look at all of the information we've been sharing with each other. And in addition to that, I left my cards out in the car or in the truck. So, Helena, you're going to help me be co-host today, right?
That's right. Can you hear me okay, Jan?
I can hear you just fine. How are you doing there in Florida?
Well, we've had quite a bit of storms lately, but today it's beautiful, so can't complain. You know, it's summer here until the end of October.
Yeah. So tell me what we're going to talk about today, Helena. And I'll let you know right away, we have two callers on the line, and they're just waiting.
Okay. Well, we had talked originally about birthing the soul, and mm-hmm. I liked that topic. I felt good about that topic, and I wanted to just share a little bit about that. We had not really scripted it by any means, but one of the other things I just wanted to take a few minutes for today is National Suicide Prevention Day, and this is a subject that's near and dear to my heart, so I thought maybe mm-hmm. we could also talk about that. I know that's that could be considered a downer to some people. However, I think that's one of the reasons it's such a downer is there's just not very much information out there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, do you want to start talking about that, or how about if we take our callers first, and then we'll get back into it?
Okay, let's see what they have to say.
All right,
we're good. That'll guide us, right?
Right. And I'm not going to even find out who it is. I'm just going to say to somebody who's from 954, area code, that you are on the line. Hi.
Hi. My name is Valerie.
Hi, Valerie. This is
Jan. It's Darlene. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Darlene?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Darlene.
Hi. And I was just like an angel reading.
You wanted an angel reading?
Yes.
Okay, we can do a short reading. What would you like to know?
Anything that actually is important. Anything has to do with career, I guess.
It has to do with career.
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to ask you a couple of questions, if I may.
Sure.
Are you in a career now? Are you looking to change your career? Or
yes,
are you looking for something brand new?
Yeah,
a new career is coming.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, me?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just, yes, I'm trying to get into a new field.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm getting. It's a new career is coming towards you. And whatever it is that you're doing right now to prepare for it is absolutely appropriate. But you're also going to need the connections. So there are people around you who are helping you in or guiding you in this new venture, in this new career path. And they're going to be ones who can help you to at least get the introduction to this new job and this new career. So it's going to be,
okay.
Remember that it's always going to be, no matter what you do, there's always going to be people who are important. And there's going to be two in particular to you, three in particular to you who are going to be important in your new career. So they may be somebody who's you're already in connection with, who are going to be supporting you or helping you on your way or guiding you. There are going to be three total who are going to help you really take off on this new start and get solid in the new start.
And can you give me three people? Can you just give me any type of advice of who they are or, you know, where?
No, I'm sorry. There's one who is around you right now, at least one, and there are two who are coming your way. So you need to be open to them. You need to be aware, be watchful, and be open. It's like I was saying earlier on the show, don't judge somebody by what they look like or what they sound like or what their education is like. Just be open to them because you've got these people who are really angels in human form coming your way. Okay?
Great. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling, Darlene.
Okay.
Okay, the next we have Kat Bray, 53, on the line. Kat.
Hi, how are you?
I'm just fine. How are you?
Good. I just came from an amazing I Can Do It conference this weekend.
Awesome.
Yeah. And the energy was pretty high there, and I was wondering what my energy is like or if you have any messages from.
Okay. Oh, you're kind of breaking up there.
Oh.
What was your question?
I'm wondering how my energy was this weekend. What did I learn?
Okay, Kat, I can't hear you at all.
Can you hear me?
No, you're fading away. You know what? I'm going to ask you to call in again, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you. Okay, and now we have somebody who's got an area code 215 who's on the line. Hi, this is Jan.
Hi, Jan. How are you doing?
Good. Who is this?
My name is Susan, and I know I was getting static on the phone, too. I thought there was something wrong with my speaker. I'm falling on the floor. Excuse me. I have to get up. I'm thinking, what is wrong with the speaker? And then I heard you tell the other young lady to do the same thing. I'm like, well, it ain't my computer. I guess it's spirit. I was just general... I had, just recently my job moved, and I don't have a job right at the moment, and I was just wondering what's the next couple months look like for me.
Okay. One of the things that I'm getting is that it's going to be a little while, and that the job is not that important right now, that what is important, there is somebody that you are going to meet that needs your help, and it's going to be a mutually beneficial situation that perhaps you might want to consider volunteering. So volunteer at a food bank or volunteer at a nursing home or volunteer somewhere where you're going to meet people, where you're going to be able to help people because there's somebody who needs your help, and they're going to need your help desperately within the next couple of months, and you need to be available for them.
Will that be like a relative, maybe?
Will it be what?
Like a relative that needs my help?
I don't know. I get a sense there's somebody. I was going to say older, but there's also I don't know the age. I don't know your age.
Well, I'm in my 50s, so I was wondering, like when you said nursing home, is this person in the nursing home already, or a food bank that needs my help, or
I think that what you need to do, Susan, is look around your area, wherever it is, and mm-hmm. find a place where you can volunteer. Look at the skills that you have, look at the talents that you have, and volunteer. That's going to be the most important thing for you to be doing over the next 2 to 3 months. And it's very possible something will come out of that, but for now, that is where your attention and your focus needs to be. Okay?
Okay,
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling in. So, everybody, we need to kind of keep moving along. Kat has called back in, and I'm going to bring her on for just a quick minute, and then we're going to go back to Helena because Helena is our guest today. If you've called in and you're waiting, I would ask that you hang up and call back later when we open the lines for people to call in. Thank you. So, Kat, you are once again on the line.
Thanks. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to know after this weekend if you have any messages for me from my angels or my guides.
Yes, the message is that you need to be listening more closely. The message is that you either have or have access to a set of cards, angel cards or oracle cards,
mm-hmm.
and that this would be very helpful to you and that you need to practice it on a daily basis.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, Helena, let's talk about you and talk about the work that you do because you've got this work on the protecting and remembering our angels and working with people who are suicide survivors.
Right. So not to talk a whole lot about me, but the fact is that I had a friend commit suicide earlier this year, and it put me in a tailspin. I really didn't know how to handle it, and what I do on a regular basis is I'm a coach and I'm an ordained minister, so I've helped other people through that, but it's different, you know, it's always different when it's right in your face. And so in the process of doing that, it came to me that I should be helping other people get through that time because there's it's a very tough time when someone you know tries to commit suicide. And I think that there's not enough information out there. It's a fact statistically that 1 in 12 teens take their life every day. Attempt to take
12
per day.
12 teens? Oh, my
12
God.
12 teens, yes. What they call young adults, so that would actually be under 25, I believe, so they're not truly teens. But as when you think of that, we lose more of our teens in that respect than we do in war. So everybody's all up in arms when you send all the kids off to war, I mean, you know, and rightly so. However, we don't seem to be really trying to understand this issue with suicide. And I'm not even saying that I have all the answers, but I just wanted, because today is National Suicide Prevention Day, I wanted to make people aware that this is something that we need to be diligent about and open it up in our families for discussion. Because if someone threatens to take their life, it should not be taken lightly. And there are hotlines.
Right.
There's a hotline number I'd like to share. That's a 24/7 hotline, and it's 1-800-273-TALK, P-A-L-K, and that number is 8255.
Okay, maybe we can post that in the positive the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations page as well.
Oh, that would be great. So if anyone is making a threat, they need to have someone that helps them. So the warning signs that they're talking about death, if there is a drastic change in their mood or behavior, for example, if someone's always been very neat and clean and now they become sloppy and disorderly, or the opposite is true than that as well. If they're starting to make funeral arrangements or they start giving away, like with kids, it would be if they start giving away their precious things, like their Xbox or their TV or their favorite clothing, obviously substance abuse is an area that we want to be aware of. If they start isolating and just a negative view of self, if they have not had that before and they start talking very negatively about themselves, these are all issues. And like I said, I don't pretend to have all the answers. I am trained in this area to some extent, but I really felt like we needed to address it today because it is that particular day that's being talked about. One of the girls in our group, her teenage daughter, attempted suicide, and they found her and cut her down. And she's still in a close to a vegetative state, and it's just been horrendous on the family. And so she's lived it from that perspective. She's a co-facilitator in my group. And then we have other people that are support people for the group because we just don't want anyone that's having an issue that we can't support them. So the other thing that this particular group, and this is a secret group, so it's not even like I'm selling the group. I'm just saying this is where I'm getting my feedback from people is we offer a lot of resources, just like this 800 number, so that people can find, because there's bullying support groups, et cetera, out there that would be more applicable to teens and young adults.
So if somebody was interested in becoming part of the group because they have someone close to them who has committed suicide or attempted it, can they contact you to find out more?
They can contact you or me. You know,
okay.
We wouldn't want, obviously, a flood of people to go into the group.
Right.
That's not at all what we're talking about it. But, you know, just like, you know, because we know each other, you had recently referred someone who had a friend who was suicidal. And so that works very well. But on the flip side of that, it's not, it's not anything that we're selling today.
Right.
It's a point that we feel like if there's more information out about suicide, that people will be more aware of it. And, you know, that is something that I can't get for you today, but, you can actually have access to it on that page. There are resources. So if you wanted to share those on your call website, that would be fine.
Okay. Let me just interrupt here for a minute. We have a couple of callers who are on hold, and I'd just like to remind you that we're not taking calls right at the moment. If you would like to hang up and call back again when we invite callers in, we'd appreciate that. In the meantime, if you just want to sit and listen, that's absolutely fine. If that's how you're listening is by the phone, that's wonderful. Thank you very much. So, Helena, tell me, maybe give me one idea of something that somebody could do. Let's say who could they talk to? First of all, if somebody is thinking about committing suicide, we don't know who they talk to. Maybe we do. So you can give a little information there. And the second thing would be for someone where someone has confided in me, perhaps, or I have through our conversations, I have a sense that they're heading towards suicide. What can I do? So what can the person who is feeling suicidal and the support person, what are some ideas of things they can do?
Well, I think the person that is feeling suicidal, I don't know that they're open to researching, let's say. I think that at that point, someone's going to have to identify it, and that might be a parent or an aunt or a school counselor. And so if you see any of the behaviors that I spoke about earlier, that would be the time to try to get them professional help, and that can be a school counselor. That could possibly be sometimes, you know, these children have a probation officer. There are certainly people to help with mental health through that system. Their minister is sometimes a good place to go. And obviously a paid psychiatrist or a social worker are, you know, when I say paid professional is the word I meant there, would be a way to go. The other part of that is, what our group really deals with is people who have gone through a suicide in their family or friends and then feeling how to help them feel like it wasn't their fault. because that's a huge issue. You know, in my case, it was a business associate, and I had offered to speak to her, and in hindsight, I found out that she was on medication, that she did have a social worker, that she was getting counseling. However, it wasn't enough. So there was nothing I could do. That's how, what I gleaned from that. But the other part that I gleaned from that was the point that we as human beings have to be open to helping shed a light on someone's path when they can't find the light. And whether or not they take that light or they change their path, it's not our responsibility. It's certainly theirs. But we
need to
be able to share information and take away some of the taboo of suicide, because there are people who have family members that have committed suicide, and yet they won't speak about it because it just sounds like, oh, well, that's awful. We don't want to talk about it. We need to take it out of the closet, so to speak.
I totally agree with that. My father committed suicide when I was 4 and a half. And it took my mother over 25 years to finally be able to talk about it with her pastor, with people in her church. And it impacted my life dramatically because I had always been compared to him. And then something negative would follow up on that. So, you know, I thought there was a good chance I'd commit suicide. And I knew I wouldn't. But it took a long time for me to get through that process. And what happened was that she told us when my brother was 17 and got his induction papers into the military, and I was 19. So one of the questions was, if one of your parents is deceased, what was the cause of death? And when she told us then, it was as though it had happened yesterday. This was 15 years after his death. And she carried that, and she felt like she was at fault. And so she carried that pain and that guilt all those years. And because I had been compared to him so much, I took on that shame. And it was a cultural shame. It was by society that said, why didn't you do something to save him? Why didn't you help him? What did you do to cause him to commit suicide? So these were all questions that my family had to deal with in various ages. You know, my brother was 2 and a half, I was 4 and a half. And my mother was in her 20s. It was just impacted us completely for our entire lives. The interesting thing is that today, my father, that experience with my father, is he came back to visit me every night. Well, not every night, but quite a few nights from that time until I was about 13 years old. And he brought joy into my life because he came in and we walked in the fields and we talked all night long and we laughed and the sun was shining and the colors were bright and it was just beautiful. And I realized that that's where my connection with angels came from, was from that, those visits from my father.
Wow.
So, you know, there was...
spectacular, huh?
Yeah. So there's a lot of pain and trauma that we go through, but I think a lot of that pain and trauma is cultural and societal. It's not spiritual. Because the person who was in such despair here is now in a place of healing. And as they heal, then they have an ability to be able to come back. Of course, you have to believe in reincarnation for that. And or to connect with us as angels, as helpers. So I would encourage anybody who's had somebody commit suicide around them to also recognize that there is healing going on the other side. And one of the things that we can do on this side is to give them love, to bring them in front of us. All right, here's an exercise that you can do. You put a column of light, of universal light, in front of you, coming down from the center of the universe, and you bring this person into that column of light. And when they are there, you bless them, and you say, may you find peace. May all the blessings of the universe be yours. May your life be filled with love, and may my life be the same. So you have just blessed the other person.
That's powerful, Dan, and that's very powerful. And I would just add to that, and while you're holding them in that light, forgive them.
Yes, and yourself.
Right, but many times there's fear and anger that last a very long time. after this mm-hmm. type of thing happens. And that, of course, can destroy us, you know, the survivors. And so
right.
you want to be able to get to a forgiveness place as quickly as you can, because we have to go in, you know, we have to take it in the right time for us, whatever is the right time for us. But I don't know how you felt, but a lot of people I know that are in a similar situation where this happened many years ago are still have not forgiven that person for
right.
taking their life. And it's sad that it's destroying another life as well.
It is, but we each have to get to the point of when we're building our own soul, when we are growing our own soul, to recognize that each of us is responsible for our own feelings and our own growth. So the anger may still be there, but it is my anger and your anger. It's not the anger of the person who has gone. And it's up to you and me
absolutely.
To release the anger. It's up to us to forgive ourselves as well as the other person so that we can then get on with the life that we came here to live, and take whatever pain and grief there was and use it for positive. Use it to help somebody else, including ourselves.
Right.
I just ran away with your topic.
Oh, that's that. You know, I didn't really intend to talk about it that long, but I did want to just share another little tidbit along those lines, is because as we, there are, my specialty in my coaching area is holistic coaching, and I work with essential oils a lot. And there are essential oils that will actually elevate moods. Now, I'm not saying that they're actually going to stop someone who is suicidal, but mm-hmm. rather than go into, you know, the doctors are so quick to prescribe antidepressants. Well,
right.
if you watch the TV, you know that many of these antidepressant commercials, now that they have to say what the possible side effects are, some possible side effects are having suicidal tendencies. Well,
right.
heaven forbid, that's not exactly what we're looking for, is it? So my suggestion is, before you go on to an antidepressant prescription medicine, not that there isn't a need for them possibly with some people, is to try mood elevating protocols, which would be using things like, in my company, we call these oils have names like White Angelica and Joy and Harmony and Valor. And if you use those every day, and if you get the proper amount of exercise and you eat a better diet, it's very possible that changes your serotonin level and therefore changes your depression into joy. So I urge that your audience look at those possibilities before they were to go into something like a prescription antidepressant.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Chemicals don't necessarily resolve chemical imbalances or issues. They just make them worse.
This all kind of goes to the topic that we were going to talk to anyway, which was building the soul, birthing the soul. And just like that, one of the big issues I had, and I'll bring this up, where it kind of brought it up for me, was the movie Eat, Pray, and Love. Many of us are familiar with either the movie or the book.
Mm-hmm.
And in that book, she goes to India and she sits in an ashram and she's trying so hard to find her soul and grow her, you know, find her God and grow her soul. Or anyway, for her, it's such a lot of work. It's painful in this book. In fact, it was so painful that when I read the book, I couldn't even get through that chapter. The book is divided into three areas. I couldn't even get through that. I quit reading the book and put it down. So I just wanted to say that so many times, I know you know this, Joy, but Jan, but I just wanted to say that it's not that difficult. Birthing our soul is not that difficult. It is hard when you think about it, has to go from point A to point Z, and it has to take a certain amount of time. But it doesn't. It's just like getting into balance with your body, getting into balance with your soul, getting into balance with your mind. It is all baby steps. All
mm-hmm.
baby steps. And it's all about breathing and letting it be. Because we're pushed so hard in society to be this doing thing that we just, you know, we've got a schedule that's, you know, double booked from morning till night, and we don't take time to find out who we are or what we are. And so if we just take a few deep breaths a few times a day and step back, and some people call it meditating, some people call it exercise, some people call it just deep breathing. It doesn't really matter what you call it. It's a matter of to take that deep breath so you can feel your essence, which is your soul.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting too that you bring up the nutrition and the essences that you're working with. It seems to me that there is a way that we can talk about as well nutrition for our soul growth, because there are certain foods that are that encourage a lighter essence about us and others that don't. So I think it's important for us all to kind of look at that, research it for yourself. Each one of us has to do it for ourselves, but to look at everything about your body, which is the temple for your soul. So if you're taking care of your body with exercise, with physical care, with the food that you eat, with the aromas around you, with the visual input that you have coming into your space, all of that, and even the music that you've got coming into your space, all of that is important in working with your soul and allowing your soul to grow more easily, I should say. What do you
think? Absolutely. I lecture on... I use Marianne Williamson's book on weight loss often. And what I love about Marianne Williamson, there's so much I love about Marianne Williamson, but one of the areas that I particularly love is...
Whoa, hold on.
Not sure what that was. Are you there?
The train is going right outside the museum. Can you hear it?
Oh, I did hear it, yes.
I was going to try and put you on mute, but then I couldn't tell you to keep talking. Okay, everybody, you just got to hear the train going by the museum.
Oh, well. So anyway, the whole point of that, of bringing that up was not that I want to talk about weight loss here, but the fact that when she talks about how important it is to have a sacred space, and we have a learned behavior that we have to change, and many times when we want to be more balanced. And that might be that we're running through McDonald's at 7 in the morning on the way to work, and we're cramming, you know, that food in our mouth, and we're, you know, maybe cramming it in our kids' mouths too, and then whatever, whatever. And, you know, what she says is that we can have the sacred space. She actually suggests that you buy a special plate that you eat on and that special cup that you drink out of, and that you ask the angels to bless that. And when you think of that, even if you don't do it itself, if you think of that when you're eating and you sit down and you enjoy your food, you're
mm-hmm.
bound to eat less because you are in balance.
Right.
And
that's
so I think that we have allowed people to take away our balance, and we're paying for it. We're paying for it now with people who need antidepressants, people who are overweight, people who have high blood pressure and diabetes. And if you look at the instances of all that, it's all through the roof. And we think it's physical, but it's so not physical. It's totally because we're out of balance in other areas that we let physical get out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
So by getting back into birthing your soul and thinking about that and breathing that and being that, you actually regain your health.
Isn't that fabulous?
It is. It's such a joyful, serene feeling to be in that balance, because I don't know, you know, what I've seen in my life, and we see it in politics, is that pendulum that swings. It swings back, it swings right, it swings left. But when it's in the center, when it's just a little in the center, just like a balanced scale, oh, it feels so good just saying it. I can visualize that. And all is right with the world, right?
Right.
So if we're
right.
in balance, we have time. We don't have to sit for hours figuring out how to meditate. We can just take a breath and we can go back to little things that we probably knew were important, like eating right and being grateful. And, you know, when I was a kid, we had a prayer before every meal. But somewhere in my life, it stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And yet now it's back. Not because anyone told me I have to do it, because I am grateful. I'm grateful from the moment I get up to the last thing before I go to sleep at night.
And somebody was talking not long ago about gratitude in advance. You mentioned being grateful when you get up, of
mm-hmm.
saying, I am grateful for and naming specific things that are going to happen for today. For instance, I said, I am grateful for finding the perfect place to host this radio show today, having no
mm-hmm.
idea where I was going to be or what I was going to be doing. So it turned out perfectly. Finding a perfect place to stay last night and the night before that. So looking at throughout the day, or not even throughout the day, but in the morning, finding 3 to 5 different things that you're going to be grateful for that day and saying, not I am going to be grateful, but I am grateful for, and name what they are that day. What are 3 to 5 things that you are grateful for in the morning? And then
awesome?
In the evening. Yeah, yeah. I think
a huge difference.
Well, actually,
in your
it was
day.
Lori Raymond. It was Lori Raymond that was talking about that. I forgot. It was Lori Raymond mentioned it, so
uh-huh.
I'm going to give her credit. And I just think it's a fabulous idea.
Well, I
and
started
I've been doing it.
Years ago writing a gratitude journal, and it was
mm-hmm.
I'll give the credit there was to Oprah. She started me on a gratitude journal, and I was going through a kind of dark time in my life. My husband had lost his mother. We had relocated. He was in great grief. And I didn't know which way was up, so to speak.
Yes.
So I couldn't seem to motivate him. I couldn't seem to find out exactly how we were going to manage our life from that point. And I started a gratitude journal, and I remember the very first day I was sitting out in the backyard, and I wrote, I'm thankful for the birds and the sky. That's all I could come up with, because
mm-hmm.
I was grasping to come up with 2 things.
Right.
I mean, and now
right.
I could write, you know, a 6-page essay every morning, but that was
mm-hmm.
all I could come up with at the time. And I will tell you another little secret, that at some point I wrote in there that I was grateful for my husband. And he found the journal. I mean, I didn't keep it. It was like a locked diary or anything. And do you know what?
Yeah.
That actually made him feel better. I could
oh,
say
good.
It all day long, but by seeing it
right.
written down in my private journal,
yeah. uh-huh.
it turned him, I'm not saying it by itself turned him around, but that made a difference to him.
Right.
But I wasn't doing it for him. I was doing it for me. And
right.
it just, now I don't even have to write a journal, because I'm just like thanking God all the time for, and you know, people don't feel comfortable with the word God. It's their higher power, their whatever. But for me, it happens to be God. But that's
mm-hmm.
exactly what I do before my toes hit the ground in the morning, hit the bedroom
yeah.
floor. I'm in gratitude.
That's wonderful. Well, Helena, we're getting down to just under 15 minutes for the end of the show. So we have one caller on hold, and
okay.
I want to make sure that we give everybody your contact information. So would you like to do that before I take the caller, or would you like to do it afterwards?
Yeah, go ahead and take your caller. I'll get that for you.
All right. We have a caller. The number is 857. And you are now live. Hi, this is Jan. Hello? Okay. Are you there? All right. That's somebody who didn't want to talk, so we're just fine now. If you want to talk, I would recommend that you hang up and call in again. So, Helena, do you have your contact information?
I do.
All right.
My email is coach, Bellissimo, Bellissimo, @gmail.com. And
so do you have Italian? Wait a minute. Do you have Italian roots, Bellissimo?
My husband's Italian.
You are Italian?
My husband is Italian.
Your husband is Italian. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Coach Bellissimo at Gmail, right?
@gmail.com. And
okay.
I have a coaching page online, which I would be glad to give everyone on Facebook if they would like to. Let me do that. Let me give them.
Not everybody who's listening is in the group, so be sure that you give it verbally as well.
Right. I'm just thinking it's a Facebook group, and it's called it's called Anti-Aging Naturally with Tinkerbella. So it's Anti-Aging Naturally with Tinkerbella.
With Tinkerbella.
Mm-hmm.
So Tinkerbella and Bellissimo are the same, Coach Bellissimo are the same person.
That's right.
Good. All right.
So
okay,
that,
do you have a
that'll
website
give them
you
a way
share?
To contact me. My actual Facebook profile is full. They're welcome to subscribe there. But that they can get my contact information. I mean, send me anything if they're interested in that other group that we spoke of earlier. I'd be glad to chat with them about that as well. And
okay.
What else do we want to do?
Okay, well,
do you go right till 4 o'clock?
We have another 9 minutes, or not quite 9 minutes, so I want to invite anybody who would like to call in is absolutely welcome to do so, to ask Helena a question or to ask me a question, and we will take care of that. And then I want to also let everybody know that you can join the Facebook group for Purpose Talk Radio. It's at Facebook.com/ Purpose Talk Radio Conversations, and it's a group, so you have to request to join, and Cindy Freeman, who is our wonderful facilitator for the group, or I, we'll add you to it. Actually, I think anybody can add you to it because it's an open group. You can also go to purposetalkradio.com, which is where you'll find the link to listen to this show and also to listen to other shows and to the previous show, to the archives. You can find me as well at janrevell.com. That's JanReV as in Victor, ELL.com. So we still have 10 minutes, Helena. What else would you like to talk about?
Well, I think we could talk just a little bit more about the fact of what, you know, I know that you're into energy and the fact of going back to the balance, how the energy, the spiritual energy as well as the energy that comes from natural products all are really positive for us. So whether
mm-hmm.
that be about the energy that we get from our food, the energy we get from a body worker, because that's often a great way to get energy. I believe, Jan, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that you are Reiki trained.
Yes.
Attuned. So that type of energy can be very healing. Combining that with things like supplements and oil can be very healing for the body. So when you're out of balance, those are ways that I would suggest that you could get balance. So can you explain Reiki for us? Because I don't know that I have a great explanation of it, even though I was recently attuned to Reiki 1, and I just am very happy that I found Reiki. But you probably are better explaining than I am, Jan.
Well, Reiki is considered an intelligent energy. It's compared to our personal energy is like 110, the kind you plug into the wall, and that Reiki energy is like 220, the kind that comes through a stove or the dryer of your car, and it's much more powerful than we are as individuals. So when we use our own energy to offer somebody healing, it's possible for us to pass along our own emotions that go with it and also to take on something from somebody else. when you're using Reiki energy, you become a channel for the energy. So you don't have to, really what you're doing is you're putting your hands on somebody and you don't have to do anything else. There's no ego involvement on your part. And that's one of the things I love about it so much is I can put my hands on somebody and Reiki does the work. I don't have to be have any ego involvement.
Isn't that nice? I like that too.
And it really does amazing. You can do it from a distance. You can do it in person. You can use it with animals. In fact, animals help you. I was recently getting a Reiki treatment from somebody, and the cat, one of the cats in the room, jumped up on me and just curled itself all over me and would not get off, no matter what. So we just kind of sucked it up together and enjoyed the Reiki treatment together. It was really lovely. I think one of the most dramatic
experiences. Was Reiki coming from the cat?
Oh, yeah. Cats and dogs both love Reiki. And cats in particular will always come around. If they're in the house and somebody's doing Reiki, they'll show up. They'll show up anytime there's energy healing. And I think that cats are natural energy emitters as well. They're kind of natural channels. So that's pretty neat. One of the most dramatic times I had with Reiki was a woman who fell down some stairs. The dogs pushed her down. And I was just told that the group that I gave on Facebook doesn't work. So go to Facebook.com and search for Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. And if you can't find it, then search for i.janrivel. That's me, i.janrivel, facebook.com/i.janrivel. And you can message me or in the in my information about information, it'll have a connection to the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. So anyway, the woman fell, there was a woman who fell, some dogs tripped her. She fell down some stairs and landed smack on her shoulder. So one of the people who was with us went and called the ambulance, and I started doing Reiki on her. And what absolutely amazed me was that when she got to the hospital, they reported back that the fracture was clean, there was no swelling, and minimal pain. Now, a fractured shoulder is pretty darn painful. So it was pretty obvious that something had gone on where she didn't have the pain, and she didn't have any swelling on her shoulder.
Wow. Well, yeah, I've seen some miracles like that with Reiki as well. So, it's certainly God's work.
Yeah, it is. It is. Okay, we don't have any callers, although that surprises me. We still have this one person who I assume is just listening. And I'm going to try them once again. If you are the number 857 area code and you would like to talk with us, I'm putting you on live right now. Would you like to talk with us? Hello? Hello? Okay. That person is listening only. Good. I hope you're enjoying the show. I'm going to have to learn how to use all of this Blog Talk stuff because I haven't figured it out quite yet. So, are you shuffling papers, Helena?
I'm actually just getting in the car. I have an appointment that I'm going to.
Okay, then we will let you go to your appointment. What last words would you like to share with our listeners?
Well, I just want to thank you, of course, for allowing me to come on today and send you blessings as you continue your travels. And if we could just leave with one word, I would think it would be our two words. Let's do two words. That it would be balance and gratitude.
Oh, I love it. Balance and gratitude. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, you can go ahead on your way. I'm going to invite anybody who wants to call in. We've got just another almost 5 minutes. If you want to call in for a question or a really short angel reading, you can do that. And Helena, thank you so much for being our guest today. It's been really great.
Thank you, Jan. All right.
And thank you for your information on both suicide and on the and on growing your soul. Somebody asked that you repeat your email.
It's Coach Bellissimo, BELLISIMO. coach@gmail.com.
Okay, thank you. coachbellissimo@gmail.com. All right. Great, thank you very much.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye. All right, so if anybody wants to call in, you have just a couple of minutes to do it, and if not, that's okay too. I am on my way to Sedona today. I will get there sometime late this afternoon. I'm going to stop in Flagstaff and unload my car so that we can then unload the truck without having to figure out what to do with the car and the trailer, and then go back, and tomorrow we unload the truck, and Wednesday I take it back to Flagstaff and pick up my car. So I guess that's it for today, and I wish you all a fabulous rest of your week and weekend, and we'll see you next Monday. And next Monday, our guest is Freeman Michaels, and I'll be telling you more about him in just a few days. So thank you once again for joining me. It's really been wonderful. I offer you soul blessings.
I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.